I'm so thankful to be able to bring the Word of God to you in this setting today. And I believe that God is going to speak to us. He's going to help us. And today I'd like to talk to you on the strength of the Lord. Before I start, let's just invite the presence of the Lord here today. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful day. Thank you for working and moving in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your strength today. Thank you for covering today. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to turn your attention to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 to start this off. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And then Psalm 61 and 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And then Psalm 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. The strength of the Lord. God promises the strength we need when we face difficult times. And I'm sorry if I sound a little preachy, but I am a preacher. And sometimes I get a little fired up about some things. And so just bear with me and we'll get through this. But Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We can put our trust in the Lord and the things that we go through. If we'll just trust the Lord, and sometimes in the pain and the situations and the sufferings that we go through, we shall renew our strength if we wait upon the Lord. And so I'd like to talk to you today about the armor of God, and that there is a strength that we get from the Lord when we apply the armor of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, starting at verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the armor of God. John Piper, in his article, How to Find Strength in the Strength of God, offered 5 steps Christians should observe when facing difficult challenges in life. He shortens these as and refers to them as APTAT. A stands for to admit. Admit that you can do nothing. Sometimes there are things that we face. We didn't cause those things. The choices that we made didn't cause them. But there's absolutely nothing that we could have done to cause those things. And sometimes we just need to admit that there's nothing. It's out of our control. We can't do anything about it. And then P, it stands for pray for God's help for the task at hand. Pray for God's help for the task at hand. And T says, trust a particular promise of God's help. Then in that faith, we should A, act in that faith. And finally, T, to thank God for the help that we have received. Piper went on to observe, most of us face a difficult task and remember to say, "Help me, God, I need you," but then we move straight from praying to acting without a time of trusting in the Lord. Sometimes we go through life circumstances or situations and it causes pain or hurt, and we're taught that we want to avoid pain. We want to get as far away from it as possible. But sometimes we just have to trust the Lord, because sometimes some of the pain that we're going through, God's doing a work. Maybe he's cutting some things away. Maybe he's trying to equip us or train us to be able to help somebody else that's going to be going through those same situations or same pains. So sometimes we're just going to have to trust God in the process, trust God in some of the pains that we go through. After we pray for God's help, we should remind ourselves of a specific promise that God has made and fix our minds on it and put our faith in it and say to God, "I believe you, help mine own unbelief and increase my faith in this promise, and I'm trusting in you." There's been times in my life where I've gone through certain situations or circumstances that was out of my control, and I had to grab a hold of some of the only things that I knew, and one was the Word of God. Romans 8:1, I believe it is, he says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose." And so whenever I'm facing those trials, temptations, or just flat out life sometimes that cause pains or hurts, and I don't completely understand it, I've got to grab a hold of the promise of God, even though I don't see it or completely see it or understand it. But latch a hold of those things and claim God's promises by faith. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 and 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." God provides what we need to stand against the evil day and to resist the devil. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We are fighting spiritual battles. Each and every one of us are fighting a spiritual battle on a daily basis. If you think that the enemy of your soul is taking a break, saying, "I'm tired of messing with them today," you're lying to yourself. You're kidding yourself. We, as well as our kids, are in spiritual battles. And now some of us engage those battles unknowingly, and some knowingly engage those battles. But most of the time, I would say, that's the way it was for me, I unknowingly engaged into a battle that I didn't know was taking place. And so as adults, we need to understand that this is a real deal thing. This is something that's happening daily. Daily. And so God gives us power, and he also gives us equipment. We find this in Ephesians chapter 6. There are six pieces of armor that he says that we should put on ourselves. And I'm going to do the best that I can to explain the revelations that God has given me in reference to this armor and how to apply it. And I'm not the best, but I've been through some things and God's really helped me. And I know you guys have too. And I'm going to do the best that I can to relay this information so that you can apply it in your daily lives. So the six pieces of armor are the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And then there goes on to say that there are two other things that were listed there in Ephesians 6 and chapter 6 and verse 18. There's awareness and waiting in prayer and persistence in prayer. So the armor of God, we need to know what these things are, this equipment that God's equipped us with and made readily available to us. And so if we understand that we're going through a battle each and every day, Some are more intense than others. We need to know what this equipment is, and we need to know how to apply it, how to put it on, and then how to use it. There was a man by the name of Lieutenant Murphy. Lieutenant Murphy was only 5 feet 5 inches tall and 150 pounds, but he was a force to be reckoned with. In his years of military service, he earned every major combat award possible. During World War II, one man assault on the Germans from inside a burning tank destroyer, Murphy used the tank's radio phone to order fire on the advancing enemies, even calling in a strike on his own position. The concerned lieutenant on the other end of the line asked, "How close are they?" And Murphy answered, Just hold the phone and I'll let you talk to one of them." That's pretty close. That's pretty intense. And sometimes that's the way it is spiritually, in a spiritual battle. He's going to get up close and personal for you. And I'm going to pause right there because I feel the unction of the Lord. There'll come a time where the enemy is just going to meet you face to face. And you need to be ready. I literally, in prayer and fasting, I wasn't expecting this, but he showed up. And sometimes the way that he shows up, he's going to try to grip you with fear. And you think, well, fear is not that big of a deal. You know, I'm afraid to talk in front of people. I'm afraid of this, afraid of that. I can survive that. But the reality is that's a tool from the enemy. He uses fear to get you to box God in. I've had young people come up to me and they said, "You know, I've intended to do this. I intended to give this Bible study. I intended to reach out to some of my friends. But whenever I had mentioned such and such or this or that, they poked fun and laughed at it and said, 'There's no way that that's going to succeed or that's going to even work out.'" And so he basically was used of the devil for this student to grip him with fear, because now this seed has been planted in his mind and this fear has latched a hold of him. Well, it's not going to be successful. And so what happens is you yourself box God in. You box the power of God in. Because the reality is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. So those of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, We need to set aside that fear. Yeah, he's going to come by. He's going to try to grip you with fear. But you need to set that aside and say, "My love for God and my love for the lost and my love for the Word of God is supersedes any fear that I may have. And I'm going to loose the power and the Spirit of God through my life and into those that are around me." So don't let fear grip you. Even when it seems that it's meeting you face to face. So even in this intense battle that Murphy was looking at, he jumped from the tank and grabbed available weapons and organized troops for a counterattack that drove the Germans back. His audacious courage and leadership and weaponry skills saved his company and enabled them to hold their position. Soldiers serve to protect a nation's citizens, land, and interests. In their efforts to defend, they work with the equipment designed to destroy. Wise soldiers know the importance of equipment, equipment checks and drills and practices. They study weapons manuals and are thoroughly trained to use and maintain their weapons. They continually hone their skills, and soldiers know their disciplines have far-reaching ramifications that can affect the success of their missions and the lives of civilians, and their personal safety as well. So could you imagine the United States military? They have access to all the equipment to be successful, and all the protection in the world as far as body armor goes. But they were not trained on how to put it on, how to apply it. They never studied it. Come on. This is where we're at. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle every day. And we need to look into this thing. If you're sitting there today, don't worry. If you're sitting there today and you don't fully have a full understanding and revelation of what the helmet of salvation is, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, and you don't know how, have any inkling of how to apply that in a spiritual battle or even in your life, that's all right. The point is we need to first study it and say, okay, and then practice it. You're probably not going to get it right. Whenever this happened to me, I didn't get it right. And yeah, I got wounded. I got hurt. And a lot of us walking around here, we're wounded. We get hurt. We get our feelings hurt. And in some cases, some people don't recover from it. They become backslidden. All because they don't really understand the armor of God and then how to apply that armor to ourselves and then how to use them as defensive weapons. So we need to first study it. And it's okay if you don't fully understand, because even with a child, if you were to give them certain instruments, say for instance, and this is the way it was taught to me in Sunday school, they literally hand you a breastplate. You put it on, yeah, you know, you think that you get hit with a sword, but how does that apply spiritually? Well, once you dive into it and we study it, start trying to apply these things. Start trying to, the Bible says that the Word of God is the sword, right? So start trying to use that word in situations and in trials and things that you're going through. Try, just pull it out and start using it. Yeah, it might seem a little overwhelming, just like a sword being too heavy or too big for a child or for somebody to pick up at first, but these things take practice. And if we're not practicing those things, you're vulnerable. You're leaving yourself open to an easy attack. And the Bible talks about he's seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy. That's me and you. And we have protection. The Bible says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians and the Ephesian church members to be strong in the Lord, he was not simply saying chin up, putting on the onus on the believers to be mighty warriors for God. In fact, his words implied their strength did not originate with them at all. The believers would be powerful when they were strong in the Lord. And that's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Those who are in Christ receive their spiritual strength from the power of God's might that dwells within them. In Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When men and women are in Christ, they are empowered and energized by his strength and able to do all things, as it states in Philippians 4:13. They do not face the task or circumstances they encounter in their strength alone, but because of their union with God, he provides his abiding power and strengthens them for his cause. And this is where most of us are at. We're standing and we're residing in the power and in the might of Almighty God. And the reason for that is because we don't completely understand the battles that we engage in day to day. And so, yes, the power of God is always there. So every time that you fall, every time that you get hurt, there's healing, right? There's resurrection power. Because there are some of us that, and I've been there, you get wounded to the point where you're spiritually dead. You're showing up for church. You're coming to the front, raising your hands, but you're spiritually dead. I've been there. And it's all because I've engaged in battles I didn't quite understand. I didn't know I was engaging. And ended up wounded. But if you stay, and if you're in that position today, you stay with everything you've got, with all of your might, with all of your power, everything that's within you, stay in the church. Because what's going to happen is God is going to show up in your situation and your circumstance. He's going to show up and he's going to breathe the breath of life. And you're going to be resurrected and you're going to walk in that power that he has poured out even in this place. That resurrection power. So God provides what we need to stand against the devil. Wow, time goes by fairly quickly when you're up here. I'm not going to cover all of this. God provides what we need to stand against the devil. The armor of God has been the subject of many books, lessons, and messages. Why is it so critical? Before Paul wrote the well-known portion of Scripture, he first told the church why the armor was so important. He wrote in Ephesians 6:13 that its primary value to those who would take it up and put it on would be the ability to withstand the evil they would face on a day-to-day basis. We face a dark time. We face challenges of today. We face political correctness in a lot of instances that's very dark. And it's trying times, and it's trying times of our faith. And we need to know what this armor is that God has for us to withstand or to resist in this evil day, in this evil time. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, "And God hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In the Old Testament, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 91 and 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." These verses describe places believers access in God. These places are far above the enemy's places. When believers are in Christ, they are positioned above their enemies. Satan is under their feet. The enemy has no power or authority over Christian men and women unless they allow him the access or opportunity to displace them. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, Paul states, or he said, not to give place to the devil. Not to give place to the devil. The word place comes from a Greek word that refers to topography or soil. It can also refer to a station or a position and an opportunity to give some power or occasion to act. Believers cannot afford to give the enemy one bit of ground in their lives, not one opportunity or access point. When believers refuse to share common ground with the enemy, he has no power over them. He finds no place in their lives. When given even the smallest foothold, the enemy will keep attacking that weak place until a foothold becomes a stronghold. But thank God he has given his church power over all the power of the enemy. Sometimes we give place to the enemy. And as I think about that, I'm reminded of some of the old timers. I remember my grandparents, specifically one of them, who used to attend this church years ago. And she used to say all the time, "You can't watch that." I didn't see anything wrong with it. And I was like, why can't I watch it? All of my friends are watching this. You can't watch that because it's a gate. You're giving place to the enemy. You may not fully understand some of the things and some of the choices that you're making, but you're giving a little bit of space for the enemy. They may be using euphemisms in that cartoon or implying sexual innuendos, but we're giving place to the enemy in our own homes, in our children. And it's scary. And we need to use a little bit of discernment nowadays. It's important that we walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But we also need to discern for our own family members, our own children, and even our own lives. We need to make sure that we're being sensitive when God is prompting us by the Holy Spirit not to watch something or to tell your kids, hey, I don't want you to go over there. Hey, I don't want to. You know, you don't necessarily have to go into the details if it's an individual that God's prompting you to protect your kids from. You can be nice about it. But you need to be aware and sensitive enough to and bold enough in your faith to yield to that. Because as it stated, if you give the devil a little bit of space, he's going to take full advantage of it. There may be a time period where, oh, there's nothing really wrong with it. And he's giving you that space, that little bit, and he's just taking a little bit at a time. And he's giving that little bit of space there till you're saying, oh, that's all right. It's under control. And I remember somebody preaching years ago, beware of the lions and beware of the little lions. And I'm not going to go into too much detail in reference to that. But he makes mention of David coming across the lion. He slays a lion. But he said it's quite possible that that lion had been there all the while when it was a cub. It'd been around. It was much easier to take care of, much easier to take out. But eventually that lion, that cub, became a 500-pound beast that he had no choice but to face. And if you're not careful, those little things, given that little space, can be such a stronghold to where now it's out of control. And then when your child or students get to the point where they become young adults, they can't control it. It's out of control. And then they become backslidden because it became a stronghold in their life. We need to use a little bit of discernment and not giving any space to the enemy. Is it work? You better believe it. Does it take sacrifice? Yes, it takes a lot of sacrifices in some cases. But is it worth it? It's worth it. And we can do it. I can do it. And you can do it. We have the Spirit and power of God and the direction of His Word. We can do this, church. You can do this in Jesus' name. Now, the armor of God should be something that we are always practicing, even when we are not in battle. Could you imagine the United States Army, just like I talked about? They face those things. I jumped ahead of myself. But again, even if you're not in battle right now, it's one of the other things I wanted to mention. I'm glad we went back to it. Even if you feel like you're not in battle, you still need to be practicing using this equipment, trying to gain more understanding of the ins and outs of it and applying it into your daily lives. That way, because I'm telling you, even if you don't understand that you're in a battle now, whenever you're in all-out war, you're able to defend yourself. You're able to protect yourself. You're able to protect even those that are around you. A scripture text that comes to mind has to do with sound doctrine. And it says, remain steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's a scripture text that says, to give heed unto yourself and to the doctrine. And that way you can not only save yourself, but those that hear you. So we need to give heed to the doctrine and to the Word of God. Because it is possible for us not only to save ourselves, but save those that are around us. So the belt of truth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, Other translations have referred to this as the belt of truth. Wearing the belt of truth keeps the rest of the believer's garments in place. This girding refers to fastening loose garments with a girdle or belt, securing clothing, and tying on a weapon. Metaphorically, it means to equip oneself with the knowledge of truth. Wearing God's belt of truth allows soldiers to have mobility and access to their swords. The truth of the word has always defeated the lies of the enemy. In Paul's day, a soldier's belt or girdle covered the loins and was an essential piece of attire. It was a soldier's girdle that braced him, kept him from being restrained by his clothing, and provided a place to secure his sword and access to it when he needed it. And so I pulled up Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. It says, Proverbs 23 and 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, and your word is truth. John 14 and 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Think about that. A belt of truth. That's something that we need to fasten to ourselves. We need to put on every single day. He says, I am the way and the truth. So we need to put on Jesus Christ every day and the Word of God every day applied to our lives. It needs to be close to our person and tightly wrapped around about us, and that we don't let it go for nothing. We buy the truth and we sell it not. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness. Next, believers are told to put on the breastplate. This term includes the whole of Christian's character and conduct. It speaks of integrity, morality, and right standing with God. Jesus clothes believers in his righteousness that cannot be earned. His righteousness is a gift, but it is more than Christ's righteousness Paul wrote about. The full meaning of righteousness is like a three-strand cord that includes the following. An attribute of God, his justness and truthfulness. 2, the right doctrine, which is biblical teachings written down so people can know the way to God and how he wants them to live. Doctrine, there are three places that doctrine comes from. That's going to be man, people, and Satan. Remember, and this is not in my notes, but it says to remain steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And if you give heed to the doctrine, not only will you save yourself, but those that hear you. So what is this doctrine? What is this teaching? And what is this instruction? So if you want to apply the breastplate of righteousness, yes, again, Jesus Christ is here. Anytime that you get wounded, you can apply his righteousness. Anytime that you mess up or that you sin, you can come right back to the altar and repent and apply his righteousness to you. But the doctrine and the instructions get us saved and they keep us saved. So this doctrine is very important. And if you don't know all the ins and outs of it, and maybe you haven't taken cross training, I suggest that you do that. You'll get a lot of insight there. And I'm not going to go into too much of that. But the doctrine, the teaching, will allow you to walk in the righteousness of God. You will walk in that truth that we just talked about with the belt of truth. Amen. Attaching that doctrine, attaching this truth to your person. And then number 3, a way of life is revealed in a believer's conduct. A breastplate protects a soldier's heart and other vital organs. A true breastplate of righteousness cannot be fashioned from a person's attempts at righteous living. It is God's righteousness woven with strands of his right teachings and a believer's righteous conduct. And so I did, you know, I've looked at the Roman. Let's see what time we have. I've looked at the Roman attire in a soldier's uniform many times throughout the years. And I actually glanced at it again before this lesson. And one of the things I noticed is that with all this armor that they would put on, there was always some sort of protective layer that they put on first. It was kind of wild. And so, and again, I'm not saying this is some sort of divine revelation. This is just me personally, how I received that. As they took this piece of garment, I don't even know what it's called. I can't remember what it's called. But the pieces of metal are interlocked together to form a shirt. It's a lot like the old school body armor that police would wear. Whenever they would get shot, it would slow down the bullet so that it wouldn't puncture their skin. And yet they would still feel the impact. Well, anyway, so whenever they put on this garment prior to the breastplate, it's actually designed to decrease the blow as it's being hit. Now, the breastplate will stop the penetration, but it won't stop the blow. And so, here we go. Here's the thing. Whenever you're in battle, what's going to decrease the blow of the enemy is you living according to what the Word of God says. Amen. That doctrine that we just, those teachings and those instructions, that right living. Because you can still take a blow whenever you have an armor on, and it will still hurt. It just may not wipe you out, may not kill you, but you're protected. But if you want those blows to be less painful, yes, you're protected, but if you want them to be less painful, live and walk and act according to the Word of God. That's it. The doctrine is that extra layer of protection. And that's in our hands. God's saying, I'm going to make sure that you're not going to get killed. I'm going to protect you whenever you're walking and you're in me. But you can still receive a deadly blow. It may not kill you, but it's going to hurt. Romans 13, 12 and 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. Paul says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And as I was praying about the breastplate of righteousness years ago, this is what the Lord has put on my heart. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Some of that right living, some of that doctrine, some of that right doing and righteousness. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So the night is far spent and the day is at hand. So that tells me that it's early in the morning. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Anything that has to do with the enemy and the workings of the enemy or sin. Let us cast those things off. And let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put on His righteousness. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. We can do it, church. Amen. We can do it. In Jesus' name. Now, the shoes of the gospel of peace. The next article Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 and 15. It says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When reading this verse, thoughts naturally turn to Isaiah's words from Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. The word shod means to bind on or to bind oneself to. Believers are instructed to bind on a condition of preparedness and readiness of the gospel. Wherever their journeys take them, when they are wearing good new shoes, they are firm-footed and stable. They are walking in peace and always ready to share the good news of the gospel of peace with others, so others can come alongside and also walk in peace. Believers in Christ are covered in the good news, and it keeps their feet from falling. Walking with Jesus brings peace, and it prepares believers for every step they walk or every step they will take in the days to come. It prepares them to do and experience all God wills, even when those steps lead into spiritual combat. And as I was thinking about the shoes of the gospel of peace, the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ comes to mind, where they were waving the palm branches and everything. And he comes riding in, into the city on a donkey. They were expecting a king that was going to rise up to be an overlord. He was going to defeat the Romans, anybody that got in their way. But Jesus came on a donkey. He came peacefully. Says that he is the Prince of Peace. He was bringing the battle and going out to battle to the real enemy. And that enemy is of our soul. And we need to keep that in mind whenever we're reaching out to the lost. It needs to be the gospel of peace, the good news. We don't need to use it as a weapon to beat somebody up, but we need to make sure that we're going peacefully and bringing good news. Another scripture text that I think about is Stephen. Not a whole lot written about him. But he goes out, and these folks murder him. They murder him on the streets. They murder him on the streets. But yet he doesn't retaliate. We don't see that. It's because he went to bring the good news with peace. And sometimes we may not ever see that here in the United States. But a lot of times it's verbal, the verbal clashes that we get involved in. So just remember, I'm bringing this gospel with peace. I'm bringing the good news in peace, not looking for a fight. I'm looking to save souls. I wish I had time to go into a lot more details of all of this, but unfortunately we do not. Thank you all for being here today. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, God, for opening up our eyes today and feeding us by your word. Lord, I pray for a supernatural revelation to begin to flow in the lives of your people today. I pray, oh God, that you would begin to equip us and guide us and lead us. Help us, oh God. Open up the eyes of our understanding with these things. And Lord, those that attempt to practice every day, I pray that you would continue to lead them and to guide them and strengthen them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you all the glory and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name.